that I want to share with you guys today that I think is going to be something really, really powerful for each one of you today. Father God, we thank you so much. Thank you for this day. Thank you, God, for your church. Thank you for Sunday, that we can come together and honor you and worship you and praise you and be in your presence. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here. And God, we want you to know above all else, God, that our desire is for you to be here. We welcome you. We invite you into this place. And God, I pray now that you will speak through your word. That God, that you will connect with every single one of our hearts today. I pray, Lord, that we would leave here today having had a real encounter with you. And God, I just know, I believe with all my heart, Lord, that what is about to be said here today is for someone here. And God, I pray that everything that you intend to have happen today will happen. And so, God, we praise you. We honor you. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I heard a story that was I thought was really interesting. I believe it's a true story. There was a young mom, and she said she was taking a shower one day, and her 2-year-old son came into the bathroom while she was showering. I guess dad was at work, and the 2-year-old little boy came into the bathroom and started wrapping himself with toilet paper. And she said, even though he made a mess, it was so adorable that she ran to get her camera and took some pictures of her little boy. And the pictures came out so great that she made copies of them, and she included them in the Christmas cards that were sent to all the relatives and friends and coworkers and everything. And did all that. About a week or so later, one of her relatives calls and is laughing hysterically about the Christmas cards that were sent out to everyone. And the young mom, she said, I was puzzled, but I was just staring at this picture and shocked to discover that in addition to her son being in the picture, she had captured her reflection in the mirror. You know, wearing nothing but a camera. Everybody sees something that you don't see yet. Everybody knows something that you don't know yet. And that's why we need others. We need others. So I want to welcome you guys back to our series entitled Wealth Building Strategies from King Solomon. We've been going through the book of Proverbs, and we've been talking a lot about wisdom. And what we've been doing in this series is taking an audience, if you will, with King Solomon to glean from the wisdom that God has given him. At the top of your notes, in 1 Kings chapter 10, it says that King Solomon was greater in riches and wisdom than all the other kings of the earth. The whole world sought audience with Solomon to hear the wisdom that God had put in his heart. And so that's really the focus of this series, Wealth Building Strategies from King Solomon, is we get to sit at his feet, if you will, and learn from him to glean from the wisdom that God has given him. So today's part 4 of this series. My message today is entitled, Help Along the Way. Help Along the Way. for the first three parts of the series, if you guys will remember, we've been talking about how life is a journey and how it's important for us to take wisdom with us along this journey of life. I gave you guys a definition for biblical wisdom early on in this series. You guys might remember this, but you can write this down. Wisdom is the ability to apply the Word of God accurately to the problems in your life. That's biblical wisdom. The ability to apply the Word of God accurately to the problems in your life. And I would say not just the problems in your life, but all the decisions, all the choices that we make. Now, in the previous two messages, I shared with you how to apply the Word of God accurately in towards choosing the direction of your life. And then in the last message I shared with you guys, I showed you how to apply the Word of God accurately in terms of staying on course, staying on the course that you've set for your life. And if you want to go back and hear any of the previous three messages, or if you haven't heard those three, you can go to our church website and hear the audio from those messages. But today, I'm looking forward to this because I want to share something with you guys that I believe is critical for you to understand if you want to be successful with your life. What I'm going to share is critical for success. For anybody here want to be successful with your life? Want to be successful, whatever your definition of that is, but want to be successful. Our focus is going to be Proverbs 15, verse 22. Some of you guys are familiar with this. Proverbs 15, 22 says that plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. Help along the way. Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. How many of you guys think that the young mom that I shared that story with you would have benefited from another pair of eyes looking at the picture before she sent them to 50 different people? Amen? Yes? No? Maybe? You guys tracking with me, right? Okay. The Bible clearly teaches that life is designed to work better when other people are involved in our lives. We need others because everybody sees things that you don't see yet. And everybody knows things that you don't know yet. We need others. Now, King Solomon talks about this quite a bit. One of the most famous passages that he uses to talk about this is from the book of Ecclesiastes, which is the other wisdom book that King Solomon write. In Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9, he simply sums it up like this. Two are better than one. Two are better than one. And in this passage from that point on where he goes into and explaining about this, he gives four different examples of how two are better than one. And what I've done is I've divided these four examples into two categories. And we'll look at this real quick. The first two examples that he gives are what I believe are under the category of provision. Provision. He says two are better than one. And then the first example he gives is this. you get more done and you get a better return with two as opposed to one. You get more done and you get a better return. He says two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. They have a better return or a good return for their labor. The second example is that we have help when we stumble. Help when we stumble and fall. And then he goes on to say, two are better than one because if either of them falls down, one can help the other up. So provision. You get a better return, you get more done, and you get help when if one of you falls or you stumble. Now, here's the thing I want us to focus on with provision. And you guys can write this down in your notes. This is really, really important. Your future is determined by who sees you. Your future is determined by who sees you. Let me explain. Because if you guys have that look on your face like, huh. Let me explain this. Have any of you guys ever watched the TV show The Voice?
Yeah.
Have any of you ever watched the TV show Shark Tank?
Yes.
Most of you have watched Shark Tank or The Voice. Both of those TV shows are based on the premise that your future is determined by who sees you. If the right person can hear you sing, your future will change. If the right person can see the invention that you've come up with, the idea that you have, it can change your life. Because your future is determined by who sees you. The key, though, is to have access to the right people. If you have access to the right people, things change in your life. Things can happen. Your life can literally change overnight because the right person gets to see you or see what you do or see your idea or hear you sing. But what you need to understand is that this is a principle of life. God has set life up to be this way. This is true in all aspects of your life. Your needs get met because of who sees you. The job that you get will be because someone sees you. The promotion that you get at work will be because someone sees you. Everything about life happens because of who sees you. I would venture to say, if your needs aren't getting met in some way, if there's frustration, if there's blockage happening in your life, it could very well be because you haven't. No, the right person hasn't seen you yet. Your needs get met because of your access to the right people. Help along the way. In Luke chapter 5, there's a story about a man who's paralyzed. And this man is really fortunate because he has four amazing friends. And they hear that Jesus is in town, and he's at this house, and he's speaking, and there's this huge crowd of people there, and they decide they need to get their friend to Jesus. The story's in Luke chapter 5, starting at verse 18. I want to read this for you. It says, some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. And when they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd right in front of Jesus. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said, friend, your sins are forgiven. These four men, they understood this principle that your future is determined by who sees you. And they reasoned, if we can just get our buddy in front of Jesus, if Jesus can just see him, he'll heal him. His life will be changed forever. So they went to the extreme of climbing up onto the roof of this house and basically digging a hole in the roof to lower their friend down literally in front of Jesus. And when Jesus, it says, when Jesus saw their faith, when Jesus saw that they understood this principle, when he saw that, he healed their friend. Because your future is determined by who sees you. Your life changes when God changes who you have access to. Access is critical for success in your life. If your needs aren't getting met, if you feel like you're just bumping up against something, maybe you've got a great idea, maybe you're really talented, you're really gifted, whatever it might be, maybe you've created something, but nothing's happened yet. It very well could be because you haven't had the access to the right people at this point. Your life changes when God changes who you have access to. So the question is, how do I get access to the right people? I'll tell you that later. So let's go back. Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9. So I've given you the first two of the four examples. In 4:9, Solomon says two are better than one. He gives the first two under what I call provision. The next two are under the category that I call protection. So there's provision and then there's protection. The next two in Ecclesiastes 4:9, the first one is what I would say generally is health, starting in verse 11. He says, if two are better than one, so if two lie down together, they will keep warm. And then the next one is what I would call safety. Verse 12, he says, though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. So there's health, and then there's safety under protection. So here's the next thing I want you to write down in your notes there. Your future is decided by who you choose to believe. Your future is decided by who you choose to believe. So your future is decided or determined by who sees you, but also your future is decided by who you choose to believe. How many of you guys would agree with me that we are bombarded with voices today? Mm-hmm. It's just an onslaught of opinions and viewpoints and blog posts and all the various angles of the news, and you hear a story and you hear like 50 different versions of it, and it's hard to determine what's real, what's true, what do I believe. Literally, when people tell me things, you know, did you hear about so-and-so, blah, 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 the first thing I think of is, what was the source of that? Where did you hear that? Was it a reliable source, or was it not a reliable source? How do we know what to believe? Whose voice should we listen to? Whose opinion should we believe? Because your future is decided by who you choose to believe. There's a great example of this in the Old Testament, in the book of 1 Kings. Solomon's son, his oldest son, Rehoboam, after Solomon died, Rehoboam becomes king of Israel. And from everything that we can discern, he was very, very young when he became king. He's probably a teenager. And during King Solomon's reign, the nation was in a time of great expansion. There was tons of massive building projects, and King Solomon, it was the golden age of Israel, and they were building so much stuff, and all sorts of stuff was going on. But the flip side of that was taxation was very heavy during his reign. And he would conscript the people to do the work. So there was a lot of like heavy labor, a lot of taxation. It was great, but at the same time, it was very exhausting for the people. So when King Solomon passes away and young Rehoboam becomes king, the first thing they do, the people come to him and they say, hey, it was really hard on your dad. Can you cut us some slack? And if you do, we'll serve you. Everything will be great. So Rehoboam says, you know, give me 3 days to think about this and come back and I'll give you my answer. So in 1 Kings chapter 12, I want to read you about this situation. Starting in verse 6, it says, then King Rehoboam consulted the elders who had served his father, Solomon, during his lifetime. How would you advise me to answer these people? He asked. And they replied, if today you will be a servant to these people and serve them and give them a favorable answer, they will always be your servants. So he goes to his dad's advisors and they say, hey, you know, if you're cool about this, everything will be fine. Everything will be good. Verse 8. But Rehoboam rejected the advice the elders gave him and consulted the young men who had grown up with him and were serving him. In other words, you know, again, he's probably a teenager. He goes, nah, I don't want to hear about that. So he gets with his boys. What do you guys think? This is what the old guys were telling me, but what do y'all think? He asked them, what is your advice? How should we answer these people who say to me, lighten the yoke your father put on us? The young men who had grown up with him replied, these people have said to you, your father put a heavy yoke on us, but make our yoke lighter. Now tell them, my little finger is thicker than my father's waist. My father laid on you a heavy yoke. I will make it even heavier. My father scourged you with whips. I will scourge you with scorpions. So 3 days later, Rehoboam gets with the people and says to them word for word what his boys said to him. And how do you think it went? Verse 13. The king answered the people harshly, rejecting the advice given him by the elders. Verse 15 says, so the king did not listen to the people, for this turn of events was from the Lord. So basically, the result of his listening to the wrong people, his believing the wrong voices, the result of it was that the nation of Israel was split into two for almost 300 years. For almost 300 years, Israel was divided in two. 10 tribes formed the northern kingdom, which was called Israel. 2 tribes formed the southern kingdom, which was called Judah. He literally split up the entire nation because he listened, he believed the wrong voices. Your future is decided by who you choose to believe. Let me ask you, who do you listen to? Who do you listen to? Who's your go-to when a decision has to be made? Who's the go-to? Is it someone on television? Is it some newspaper columnist? Some blogger? Is it some person that you know personally? Who's your go-to? Who do you listen to? Because your future is decided by who you choose to believe. You guys know your eternal life is determined by who you choose to believe. So access to the right people is critical. Whether it's who sees you or who you choose to believe. So now, I'll give you guys the answer to the question. How do you get access? What's the key that gives you access to the right people? The key to access to the right people can be summed up in one word. Honor. Honor is the key that opens access to people, to the right people. Honor is the key that opens access to people. I want you guys to think about this for a sec. Whatever you honor and respect, you attract. Whatever you dishonor and disrespect, you repel. Let me say that again. Whatever you honor and respect, you attract. But whatever you dishonor or you disrespect, you repel, you push away any and everything that you dishonor and you disrespect. Can I say this? This is the big reason why so many people struggle in the workplace. This is why so many people are frustrated in the work environment and in their relationships with people, and why they struggle with how come such these certain great things happen for them and they don't happen for me. Anybody ever heard that? uh-oh, I think I may have hit something. I think I may have hit something there. Why do good things happen for them and they don't necessarily happen for me? Why did this person that works next to me get the promotion and I didn't? Because whatever you honor and respect, you attract. But if you dishonor or disrespect anything, you automatically repel that. You push that away. In the workplace, even before I became a pastor, you know, I was in the music business, you know, and I've worked lots of different jobs or whatever. I've seen this happen so many, many times, and I never understood it until I began to understand this principle, this concept. But I would see this happen so much. People get in these little things and they're just talking negatively about the boss or negatively about the company or this or that, and all this is going on. And I would just really avoid all that, stay away from all that. And then I would notice those people would end up fading out, getting fired, getting eliminated. And those of us that weren't involved in all that were getting promoted and getting our contracts extended. And I was like, this, what is that? What exactly is that? But then once I became a leader and I began to recognize that same, I got to be on the other side of that. I was like, oh man, that makes total sense. Makes total sense. Because whatever you honor or whoever you honor, you attract. You want promotion in your life? Honor the people that you're under, that are over you. Honor those people. Bless those people. Respect those people. But if you dishonor or disrespect them, they're going to push away from you, because that's how this works. When you dishonor or disrespect anyone, you may not realize it, but you are sabotaging your own success. You're sabotaging your own success because of that. Think about it just from your own life, your own situation. All of us are attracted to those that honor us. Everybody. All it takes is for someone to be kind to us, to respect us, to honor us, and the first thing we say is, man, I don't really like that person. I like being around that guy. That guy's really cool. Don't you think that guy's cool? This guy's great. It's just natural. Romans chapter 13, verse 7. Paul says, give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. And then he says, if you owe them respect, give them respect. If you owe them honor, give them honor. And then he says in Romans 12, verse 10, he says, honor one another above yourselves. See, Paul doesn't just say, honor people so that you will get more with your life, or be selective with who you honor. He says, honor everybody. If we have that, if we're in the habit of honoring every person, giving everyone respect, that it will go well with us. You know, there's a lot of talk these days about racism and this all of this that's going on right now, and the whole issue of racism connected with the issue of dignity. And in reality, God created every single one of you in His image. So that means every single one of you has dignity. I can't give you dignity. The idea that I would give you dignity is in and of itself racist. Because I'm not above you to give you dignity. God's already given you dignity. He's already given you that. Because you're created in His image. Amen?
Amen.
But what I can give you is respect. Amen. I can respect you. I can honor you. And the Bible says that when I do that, that it brings blessing into my own life. But here, I want to close with this. We're talking about honor being the key that opens access to people. But you guys know that honor is the key that opens access to God. You have to, if you want access to God, you have to honor God. Check out what God says about this in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30. God says, "Those who honor me, I will honor." Then he goes, "But those who despise me will be disdained." Honor is the key that opens access. And access to the right people. Access to God and access to the right people are what determines your future. Whatever God has ahead for you, whatever your dreams might be from this point on in your life, whatever things you might want to see happen, will be contingent upon who sees you, will be contingent upon who you choose to believe, who you have access to. Proverbs tells us that plans fail for lack of counsel. Our journey of life works better when we have others to help us along the way. You can't just do it on your own. I want to ask you this. Are you struggling in some area of your life right now? Is there some area of struggle? Maybe it has to do with your career. Maybe it has to do with relationships that you're in. Maybe you've got that feeling of there should be more happening for you. Maybe you've got ideas. Maybe there's gifts, talents that you have that you haven't really been able to find a place for, to utilize in some way. Maybe you just feel stuck. But whatever your situation is, you need God to guide you to the right people, to the right situations, you need access. You need access to God, and you need access to those that can benefit you, that can help you, that can show you what to do. Maybe you've been listening to the wrong people. The wrong voices. Maybe you've been sabotaging your future by not honoring people the way you should. I want you guys to bow your heads right now. I believe that these areas, these things that we've talked about today, could be the keys that you need to unlock whatever's going on. Could be the keys that unlock the doors that up to this point you haven't been able to get through. You've been all around the door. You've looked at it up one side and down the other, but you haven't been able to figure out how to unlock it until today. I want to ask you, if you're here today, and God, you feel like God is speaking to you, you feel like God has revealed something to you that's going to make a difference for you, would you just lift your hand right now? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just want to take a moment just in the quietness of this time, because I believe God, I really, really believe that God ordained this time, this day, for this specific thing, because God loves you and God wants the absolute best for you. He doesn't want you to stay frustrated. He doesn't want you to stay on the outside of that, whatever it is that God is showing you. But will you just take this moment just to humble yourself before the Lord and say, God, I realize now what it is, and I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do. I'm willing to humble myself. Lord God, I just want to stand in agreement with every single person here today that you're speaking to. I thank you, God, that you're unlocking something important in so many people's lives today. I pray, Father, that you will give all of us the wisdom, the strength to walk through the doors that you open. I pray for incredible blessing to be upon your people now. I pray, Lord, that you will seal your word in all of our hearts, and that, God, that the things that we've heard today will not only benefit us, but we'll be able to teach them to our children, our grandchildren, our friends, our co-workers, whatever the situation might be, Lord. But that, God, because of your word and because of your wisdom, that our lives would change for the better, would be blessed because of you. And so, God, I thank you. I thank you for what you're doing here in this place. I thank you for the freedom, for the blessing that's going to happen in our lives today because of your word. And we thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can we give the Lord praise? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen.